Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The State and Revolution is a short but highly influential political work by Vladimir Lenin. Written in 1917 during the final months before the Bolshevik seizure of power and first published in 1918. It is a theoretical text rather than a narrative, and its central purpose is to restate and defend the Marxist theory of the state at a moment of revolutionary crisis. Lenin argues that the state is not a neutral institution above society, but an instrument of class rule created by irreconcilable social antagonisms. He uses Marx and Engels to support the claim that the bourgeois state must be overthrown, not reformed, and replaced by a transitional workers' state, or dictatorship of the proletariat. The book also examines the Paris Commune, the role of armed force, the limits of parliamentarianism, and the long-term goal of the state withering away after class society disappears. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Lenin's class theory of the state as an instrument of domination. The book begins from a basic Marxist premise: the state does not arise as a neutral tool for the common good, but as a product of class division. Lenin argues that once society is split into opposing classes, the state develops to manage conflict in a way that protects the interests of the ruling class. This means law, administration, police power, and political institutions are not simply technical arrangements. They are structured around preserving existing property relations and social hierarchy. Lenin's point is not only descriptive but strategic. If the state is built to defend class rule, then workers cannot expect to capture it and make it serve socialism in its existing form. They must understand its underlying purpose before deciding how revolutionary power should be organized. This argument is one of the book's most important contributions because it reframes political institutions as expressions of material social conflict rather than a partial arbiters. Secondly, why Lenin insists the bourgeois state must be smashed, not gradually reformed. A major argument in the book is that the proletariat cannot simply win an election, inherit the old state, and use it for socialist ends. Lenin rejects the idea that capitalism can be transformed peacefully through parliamentary reform alone. Instead, he insists that the machinery of the bourgeois state must be broken up because its institutions were built to reproduce class domination. This includes standing armies, professional bureaucracies, and parliamentary forms that can mask the real power of capital while leaving it intact. Lenin's reasoning is practical as well as theoretical. If the ruling class controls coercive institutions, then any socialist majority that stops short of dismantling them remains vulnerable to counter-revolution. The insistence on smashing the old state reflects belief that revolution is not merely a transfer of office holding, but a transformation of the structure of power itself. This is one of the clearest dividing lines in the text between revolutionary Marxism and reformist socialism. Thirdly, the dictatorship of the proletariat as a transitional form of workers' power. Lenin does not present the overthrow of the bourgeois state as the end of politics. He argues that after revolution, the working class must establish its own state form, often described as the dictatorship of the proletariat. In Lenin's usage, this term means the political rule of the majority class over the former exploiting minority, not arbitrary personal tyranny. The purpose of this transitional state is to suppress resistance from the displaced bourgeoisie, reorganize property relations, and defend the revolution while class distinctions still exist. Lenin treats this as a necessary stage between capitalism and communism because class enemies do not disappear the moment power changes hands. The book therefore emphasizes that the revolutionary state is temporary in principle, even if it is forceful in practice. This transitional concept is central to the text because it links revolution to a concrete institutional form and explains how a socialist order could survive the immediate aftermath of upheaval. Fourthly, lessons from the Paris Commune and Lenin's model of a new political order. Lenin uses the Paris Commune as the most important historical example of proletarian power, even though he sees it as incomplete and defeated. For him, the Commune shows that workers cannot govern through the old parliamentary state. They need new institutions designed for direct accountability and active popular control. From this example, he draws several practical lessons. Elected officials should be recallable. Officials should receive workers' wages rather than elite salaries. And executive and legislative functions should be combined in bodies closer to the councils of laboring people. He also stresses the replacement of the standing army with the armed people, which is meant to prevent a separate coercive force from standing above society. These proposals are not presented as abstract ideals, but as institutional responses to the failures of earlier revolutions. The Commune helps Lenin show what a workers' state might look like in practice and why revolutionary democracy must be built differently from bourgeois democracy. Lastly, the withering away of the state and the book's tension between force and emancipation. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is that the state will eventually disappear, but only after class antagonisms vanish. Lenin borrows the notion of the withering away of the state from Marxist theory and argues that coercive political authority is not an eternal feature of human society. Once class divisions are abolished, the special machinery of repression becomes unnecessary and can gradually lose its function. At the same time, the book is explicit that violent revolution is unavoidable in the transition from capitalism to socialism. This creates a lasting tension in the text. The state is treated as both an instrument of liberation for the working class and a coercive mechanism that should ultimately become obsolete. That tension has made the book central to debates about revolutionary violence, authoritarianism, and the relationship between means and ends. Lenin's argument remains influential because it connects the immediate problem of political power to the long-term communist ideal of a stateless society. In conclusion, The State and Revolution should be read by students of political theory, historians of the Russian Revolution, readers of Marxist thought, and anyone trying to understand why Lenin's conception of revolution became so influential in the 20th century. Its value lies in the way it condenses a major line of Marxist argument into a compact, highly focused text. Readers gain a clearer sense of how Lenin understood the state, why he rejected reformist socialism, and what kind of institutions he believed a workers' government would need in the aftermath of revolution. The book is intellectually useful even for readers who disagree with its conclusions because it exposes the assumptions behind modern debates about democracy, coercion, and political change. Compared with many other revolutionary writings, it stands out for its unusual combination of theoretical rigor, historical reference, and tactical urgency. It is not a general manifesto and not a detached academic study. It is a polemical but disciplined attempt to define the state question at a decisive historical moment. That combination makes it one of the most important short works in modern political literature. If you would like to support Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.